Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
What the fuck are we talking about today?
I think we're getting into a little bit more history. Like, we've been a little bit absent here with regard to the podcast and we keep saying we're going to get better, and then we do for a minute, and then we don't. But really, there's a lot of stuff going on in our lives. So we're getting there, and then we're doing history today. So tell us about what we're doing.
Yeah, that was a great...
That wife was waving me along, like, get the fuck out. They don't give a shit about us. Just move along.
Seriously.
Tell them what we're doing. Let's get on it, wife. Come on, let's do it.
Oh, my God.
What are we doing?
We're doing After Macadoodles. That's literally what I named the document.
Got it.
That I took notes on.
Yeah,
After Macadoodles.
Yeah.
As I said in our Discord, because this is Tuesday as we're recording this.
Yeah.
We're doing a live, as we do every Tuesday at 10 p.m.
Right.
Eastern on Discord. I told them that we did cover a large swath of history in a previous Tuesday deep dive kind of thing.
We did.
And we talked about Greece, baby, during that time period and stuff like that. Because I'm very interested in that. How do we get from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament? There's like 400 years of, like, they call it the silent years.
Yeah.
Or 400 years of silence.
Right, right.
Because no new prophets pop up and all that.
Yeah.
And so we did do like a large cover of that, but now we've done the Macadoodles mostly. We still have a couple more episodes to go, but for the most part, we're done with the Macadoodles.
God was on pause.
Yeah. And I want to know
what happened.
Okay. And then, like, and what happened after the Macadoodles?
Right, right.
Like, and then.
Yeah, because, I mean, somewhere in there, then Jesus.
And then Jesus. Know? Yeah. And it just feels like another thing I said was, I'm not ready for Jesus
yet. Yeah, we're about to do the Jesus thing. So, I mean,
I'm not ready. I'm not.
We need to know why Jesus. Where did Jesus come in?
I'm not feeling like, I mean, I'm still Jewish. I'm not Jesus yet.
How do we get to Jesus?
Yeah, like, I know.
This is a coming to Jesus moment for our podcast.
It is, because... Because, like, I know that the Macadoodles win, so for a minute, Judaism is, like, on top. Like, ta-da! Yeah. We won! We rule our own land! And so for, like, 5 minutes, they're all good in the world.
Yeah.
But then Jesus.
Then
and
Jesus.
I'm like, how do we go from the Hasmonean victory to...
To Jesus.
Jesus. I'm not there. I don't feel Jesus in my heart
yet. We've stuffed Jesus into this intro so much.
Jesus Christ. Sure as fuck have.
All right. Are you ready to go over this?
Sure as fuck am. Sure as fuck do.
Let's go do it.
Okie dokie. Hooray for Macadoodles.
No, or the between that and...
After Macadoodles.
That's the one.
Yeah, so we're doing the After Macadoodles bit.
Even though we're not done with Maccabees yet. Jesus. I can't... Like, you almost got me to say it.
Because it's more fun.
Yeah.
Macadoodle is so much more fun than
Maccabees.
And Maccabees is a lot of fun.
I'm not arguing that fact. I just try to keep... I'm the straight man, you know?
You are the straight.
I try to keep the...
I'm the bi and you're the straight.
I meant in the comic thing, you know?
It works both ways, though.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing. The Maccabean Revolt happened in the 2nd century BCE.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
The birth and then subsequent ministry era of Jesus did not happen until like the first century BCE and then later into the early first century.
Well, I mean, the birth happened in the first century for sure.
Right. So there's like this 300 to 400 year period that's like, what?
Is it 300 to 400 or just a couple hundred?
Well, if the Maccabean Revolt was in the 2nd century.
Oh, which would be like -200 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. Then
all right.
Late first, early
got
first.
It. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
no, that's fine.
300 to 400.
I was just trying to get in my head where
we're talking absolute value of numbers,
right?
Where you put the bar on either side of the integers.
Sure. And we're going up as high as 100 and as low as
no, we're going up as high as positive 100.
Yeah. And as low as -2.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Something. Exactly.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's why I said 300 to 400 years.
Okay.
But they just call it the 400 years of silence.
Sure.
Because why not? Nothing ever happened over there.
Yeah. God just disappeared for 400 years.
It's like in the movie Ghostbusters when he's going into Dana's apartment and like he's, you know, going to look in her bedroom and she's like, but nothing ever happened in there. And then he's like, what a crime. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a brief period of Jewish independence under the Hasmoneans, okay, which we're about to get to in our read through. We haven't quite got there, but we know it's coming.
Yeah.
There's an intense civil war and there's corruption in the priesthood.
Of course.
Okay. So that's going to be a thing that we won't read about too much.
Got it.
In the Macadoodles.
So they get their independence, then fuck it up.
Oh, yeah. Got definitely. Okay. Yeah. They have freedom for like 5 minutes. Yeah. Rome barges in and takes over. Okay.
Okay.
So that's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to get the rise of Herod the Great.
Okay.
And I'll talk about him a little bit in a minute. We're going to see the major development of a bunch of Jewish sects.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealot-type resistance.
Interesting.
Yeah. I had no idea. And I'm going to talk about them only very slightly, but I think that already that's what I want to talk about next Tuesday is those guys. Because Pharisee, Sadducee, Essene, Zealot.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like, interesting what? Just in and of itself. Like
right?
All these like little groups of Jewish people that are like
different types.
Yeah.
Like they weren't just Jewish. They were different types of Jewish.
Right.
Like, what? Which
we've run into that before.
We have.
You know, the Old Testament was filled with like, I mean, hell, North and South Israel was like split into two types of set.
And then we've got the ones that are like after the diaspora.
Yeah.
Like there's your, you know, Babylonian Jews versus your Egyptian Jews versus your Judean Jews.
Yeah.
And them all arguing about who's the biggest Jew, who's the most Jew, like your Judaism isn't Jewish enough for us or whatever.
So if we can count on one thing, it's that they're going to argue about what their religion means. And it sounds like that is what we deal with today. Weird.
Weird. Yeah.
So people arguing over religion. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, one of them morphed into Christianity.
Sure.
Because.
Yeah.
There's also going to be
Mighty Morphin Christian Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mighty Morphin Christian Rangers. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because there's also a growth of messianic expectation.
Hmm.
Like, not just like, wow, it would really be cool if some type of, like, spiritual leader, but no, like, there's going to be one any minute.
They're like, hey, we've got all these prophecies that say it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that dude needs to happen.
And shit is bad right now. So
right. We really need this guy.
It's bound to happen any second because shit is so bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's where they're at.
Okay.
There's apocalyptic thought. So there's like, the world is about to end. So our Savior's coming any second now. Okay.
Okay.
There's a lot more angels and demons and resurrection ideas during this time period. Like,
okay.
Whereas there's not the biblical stuff, the Old Testament, New Testament. So there's no like canon history from this time period. There's lots of just people running around like chickens with their head cut off, screaming about all these different stories and myths and legends. Like they're just drumming up.
They got
all
their kinds sandwich boards and the end is nigh.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
well, I mean,
and they all are telling a story.
Well, and we've got, like, we've kind of commented in 2 Maccabees, which we're reading right now, about how it's turning, like, some of the theme of it mm-hmm. is swinging a little bit further towards the Christian ideas of what
and that's why
Christianity is. You know,
it's
like
reflecting the time period.
Yeah, you can kind of see some of those changes happening in that book.
So. It's been really interesting over the time that we've been reading the Bible and placing the different books in history throughout.
Yeah.
To be able to see how the writing changes. And how the style of writing changes to reflect the history of the people in the moment that they're in.
Yeah.
And to actually be like, this seems a lot more like XYZ. And then to do a deep dive and go, oh, guess what was happening? XYZ.
Right.
So that's been really cool.
Brady in our Discord points out, we're getting close to the 0 year. So obviously the Messiah's got to come.
He's got
to
come.
I mean, like, if,
because clearly,
when else is it going to happen if it's not in the 0 year?
Yeah.
Otherwise, how are we going to have, you know, the 0 year?
What happens in zero? Sense. Yeah. Yeah. And then I was really disappointed to learn that Jesus wasn't born on the 0 year. Like, that was so disappointing to me. When I learned that, I was like, then what are we doing here?
Yeah, what even is the 0 year?
Like,
what the fuck does
I'm
that
gonna,
even mean?
I'm going to have to do, a calendar check at some point and, like, talk about what even is that?
Who's in charge of this shit?
This math is so fucking bad. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Like, we just arbitrarily just were like, and, okay, everything before this is a negative, you know, BCE. Like, why? That doesn't make sense to me. So all of that was happening while the spread of Greek language and culture is still happening. And that we covered that in our Greece episode. Greece, baby.
Yeah.
All of that was going on. And Greek language was still, like, one of the main ones, you know?
Sure.
In this part of the world.
Yeah.
So it's still spreading. Their Greek culture is still spreading. And this is at the same time that Rome is taking over.
Right.
So we've got Greece and Rome.
So Greece culture is prevalent, but Roman military prowess is also very prevalent.
Yes. So. Yes. Greek culture and language is so important that you stress that.
Yeah.
There's also the production of a bunch of Jewish writings that are super important background for the New Testament, even though they don't show up in the Bibles.
Okay.
Not in all the Bibles. Like the Maccabees, for example.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
In traditional Protestant Christianity, this whole time period, that's where we get the phrase, the 400 silent years.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
But in Catholic and Orthodox Christianity, it's less silent because we have books like 1st and 2nd Maccabees. They also have Sirach, Wisdom, Baruch, Tobit, and Judith.
Okay.
And those are ones that we wanted to read eventually, but we're not going to wait.
Not in our normal run through.
Yeah, we're not going to read all of that before we jump into the New Testament. Like, there's just too many.
No, it'd be like 5 more years before we got to the New Testament.
So. Yeah. I do want to read them, but we'll have to work that in somehow. Mm-hmm. So those are part of Catholic and Orthodox Christianity scripture. So the gap is not quite as blank for them as it is for Protestants.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, in Jewish tradition, it's not just like the Old Testament happened and then suddenly Jesus.
Right. Okay? Right. Because, well, they don't even acknowledge that Jesus is they acknowledge you as a prophet.
Yeah.
But that's as far as
he's not the prophet. He's just one of many.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still fully the Second Temple period during that 400 years.
Yeah.
With a huge amount of religious development that is later remembered through Hanukkah, which we read about in the Macadoodles.
Yep.
Sectarian memory, apocalyptic literature, and then eventually we get a lot of rabbinic tradition. The rabbis will write their thinkings and their ideas and stuff, and we have a lot of that.
Yeah.
That still exists today.
Well, and there's some really important stuff that even goes up through modern age with some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they keep, the Jewish people keep writing.
Yeah, which I really appreciate.
Right.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, I do too.
It's adaptable, I guess, kind of.
Sure.
Maybe that was the wrong word.
It's a growing, it's an ever-growing religion.
They're always grappling with what their faith means and what anybody in any given moment meant when they said a certain thing a certain way.
Right.
And I appreciate the questioning that they do.
Yeah.
That is cool to me. So, historically speaking, my question was, but what happens after Macadoodles, though?
Sure.
Like, specifically.
Yeah.
So, okay, we've got, I just gave you the broad list, very, all that stuff that I said. That's right. A short answer.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But to just go into a little bit more depth. Okay. So the Maccabees do win, sort of. Okay. The revolt began in 167 BCE under Mattathias, which we know because we've read, and his sons, particularly Judas Maccabeus.
Right.
Right. The temple is rededicated in 164 BCE, and that was the origin of Hanukkah. So we remember that.
Yep.
But full independence did not happen immediately. The Seleucid control lingered for a while. And the Seleucid was, remember, all the different Greeks that were fighting over
who was control
of that whole area because of Alexander the Great. When he died, he left everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he left a vacuum. And then also he didn't have any one particular heir. So it went to several, like I think five different heirs. The land was split, or the,
I thought it was five. There's
four or five different Greek guys running around trying to take control of everything. Sure. So that was the Seleucid Empire, and they were all like running around trying to do stuff.
Yeah,
and true Hasmonean rule consolidated it later. Okay.
Okay.
So by 141 BCE, Simon, who was Judas Maccadoodle.
Yes.
Yes.
I was trying to let you get through that one.
I couldn't get his word. I couldn't get his name out. So then I was like, you know what? Just Maccadoodle.
Right. Yeah.
So Judas's brother, Simon says, he gets recognized as the high priest and the ruler. And remember, that was a big fucking deal because they had tried to keep their religion out of their politics, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, at least in name, they had it separated because the political leader is leading the people and describing the laws for the people and enforcing everything for the people, but and answers to the people. But the religious leader was the speaker for God and interpreted the laws that God ordained and tried to lead them that way. And so they had tried to keep them very separate. And so it was a big fucking deal when Simon's like, I'm both.
Yeah.
Like, that did not go over well.
Yeah.
Okay. That effectively marks the start of the independent Hasmonean state, though.
Okay.
So when Simon put on both hats at the same time, boom, that's the first day of the Hasmonean state.
Because Simon says.
Yeah. So we've got the heroic underdog freedom fighters become, the ruling dynasty.
Okay.
For 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we've got the Hasmonean dynasty, Jewish independence. Yay. But with problems.
Right.
Because they were corrupt AF. Okay.
Right.
They were not good leaders. The Hasmoneans, which would be all of the descendants of the Maccabees. So not just like Simon, but like everybody who came after him.
Right, right.
They ruled Judea for about a century. So, okay, more than 5 minutes. About a half hour.
Yeah, but in the grand scheme of what we've been talking about with regard to the Bible, it, you know, it feels a lot like five minutes.
It does, so, I'll round up and say, all right, y'all ruled yourselves for a good half hour.
I mean, shit, when we were in the Old Testament going through, like, the Kings and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
And Chronicles.
Hundreds of
years. Yeah, it was just like every chapter was like,
another 100 years have passed. Yeah, century here, century there. Yeah. Yeah, you guys ruled yourselves for one century. I'm sorry, that's nothing.
Right.
Like, I don't mean to be mean, Mr. Hasmonean, sir. Yeah. But
go read your book.
Yeah, exactly. So they ruled themselves for about a century, and this is the last substantial period of Jewish self-rule before Rome.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I
don't know why, but like when I read that sentence, like that struck me.
Yeah.
Like, damn, that was like the beginning and the end for them.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, they've had a lot of turmoil. They've had a lot of beginnings and ends of rule and not rule. And I mean, the Babylonian exile, like, I mean, even among their own tribes, they've had separate kingdoms. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of turmoil in their world over the time that we've been reading about them. So. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was self-wrought, but a lot of it wasn't.
Sure.
Like, everybody over there be fighting over land and God.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Everybody wants water. Like, yeah. That's mostly what it comes down to. Like,
hide your Asherapals, you know?
Right. Definitely hide all of your Asherapals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for the one that you keep in your pocket.
Right.
Everybody has a pocket Asherapal.
Yeah.
Sometimes it vibrates. So during this time period when they're like taking care of their own beeswax,
yeah,
they expand their territory extremely aggressively.
That doesn't shock me.
So then you're not just taking care of your own beeswax.
Right.
You're taking everybody else's beeswax.
Just like anybody else. Yeah. They were very much
like everybody else.
When we were listening to the first Maccabees, actually.
Yeah.
And now what we've been reading in second Maccabees, They do seem a little conquery. You know, they seem a little
so aggressive.
Struck with themselves as to how awesome they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, they're not happy with where they're at. They want to expand their territory. They want more.
They don't just want freedom. They want the freedom to own everybody else.
Yeah.
And all the things.
Yeah.
And rule the planet.
Right.
Which wouldn't be that big a deal because everybody else wants that too.
Yeah, everybody wants to rule the world.
Except that we're reading their book. Everybody does want to rule the world.
Yeah.
And that is a song.
Right.
But it's just that we're like led to believe from outside reading all of this that they're just a put upon people and everything bad happens to them. And I'm like, I've been reading and they did bring a lot of this on themselves. They did pick fights with bigger people.
Yeah. I mean,
you cannot.
But totally today, Iran had it coming.
Look, I have said it before. Do not make me defend shitty people. Stop.
No, I'm just.
Stop.
I'm sorry. I had to throw it out there. Like, you know, like it's fair. Today's Israel, right? They committed genocide.
Today's Israel is the fucking Hasmoneans.
They're co-opting us into fighting a war with Iran for them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, I agree. The people that ran are crappy people. You know, like they kill protesters. They do awful things. But did we need to get involved? Was this our fight?
If we were going to get involved, why was it now when the Epstein files were a thing? Like, why was it so quick? Look over here instead of there.
No, it feels like we're very much being pulled along by Israel right now. Israel is determining a lot of our foreign policy at the moment.
Because they're being Hasmoneans.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They are. They're being the Hasmoneans. They like gained political freedom and strength in their own little corner of the world.
Yeah.
And it's not enough. They have to go kill a bunch of everybody else and take a bunch of everything else.
Yeah.
And that's not cool, man.
No, it look, I've got no problem with a country defending themselves. I've got
absolutely
no problem
not
with us supporting Israel and defending themselves. Defending themselves.
Defending, not picking a fight
right.
And then helping them destroy and decimate and, you know, let's do a genocide on people. I didn't sign up for that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So they expand their territory aggressively. And they combine high priesthood and political kingship, and they force some of their neighboring peoples into joining their practices in Judaism.
Okay.
So they force their religion on others.
Yeah.
And they get involved in Hellenistic style power politics. So they're like, we don't want to be Greece, obviously, because we're Jewish and Greece is Greece and we're not. We're Judeans. We don't want to be Greece. But we do like the way they rule and we do want their land. So we are going to negotiate with them. And also we will kill them when it's convenient.
Sure.
So they get super involved in that. Like, partly they were kind of like drawn into it because they were already under Greek rule on and off.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm just like, y'all need to fucking chillax.
Like, I mean, power corrupts, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the more power you have, the more it's going to cause problems, the more.
And absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. So this is all a really big deal because originally the Maccabees fought because foreign powers corrupted the temple and the priesthood, right?
Yeah.
And then their own descendants start looking suspiciously just like the power-hungry rulers that everyone hated.
Yeah.
So
weird. It's how like, that works.
Huh.
So basically, whoever has more power is shitty to the person that doesn't have power.
So it's almost like they're saying might makes right.
I mean, yeah.
Like, oh, we hold the talking stick and we will bash you with it.
I mean, that's been the case with most of the world, most of the years, most of the time.
Which means that anybody who has that mentality is not fully evolved. I'm sorry. No, because it's true. Like, if you don't have a live and let live mentality and you just have to own somebody else's fucking land, you're still childish.
Right.
You're still childlike, but in the worst possible ways. You're throwing a fit with nuclear weapons because you didn't get the pieces, the biggest piece of the pie.
No, and I miss the days, you know, bringing this back to modern times, but I miss the days when we had, you know, a treaty with Iran to keep them from getting nuclear weapons, right? Like, we tried to keep the peace because it keeps a shit ton of people from dying.
I mean, to be fair, that came after we invaded them, like, the first time around.
What?
Didn't it?
No.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of the other.
Iraq.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. I was thinking of the other Middle Eastern war that we got ourselves drawn into.
We did a deal with them to keep them from getting nuclear weapons.
I get all of our places where we step into other people's business confused. Sorry. So this whole thing created legitimacy disputes and priestly infighting because, you know, some of the priests were like, wait, what? That's not how we're supposed to do this.
Yeah.
Class conflict was a huge problem.
Yeah.
And seeds for all the later sects that I told you about.
Yeah.
The Pharisees and all the other ones.
Yeah,
I can't remember now without looking at them.
Yeah.
Oh, look, we're about to talk about them.
Oh, yay.
The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Zealots.
Got it.
Yeah. Like, that was an actual group, not just a word.
Got it.
Which, that's fun. I didn't know that.
That is fun.
So, during the later Hasmonean and early Roman periods, Judaism is not just one united thing. Like, so it's not like, hey, we're all Judaism and we're all Jews. The end.
Yeah.
Like, they had all these different things going on.
Okay.
There's this whole ecosystem. So, you could kind of belong to several different things happening.
So you could belong to more than one group?
Kind of, because it depended on your focus and it depended on where you lived, geography-wise. It depended on your class, your politics. Like, there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like with a, you know, you ask a Christian, where do you go to church on Sunday? And that answers your question.
Right.
It wasn't just like that.
Yeah.
You know? So let's talk about the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the name I'm most familiar with.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The focus was on the Torah and oral tradition and interpretation.
Okay.
So they were like just your main group, your main guys. And that's why they're the ones that we're most familiar with today.
All right.
Okay. They were more flexible about applying holiness outside the temple. They believed in things like resurrection, angels, and afterlife, broadly speaking.
Okay.
Which I did not know. They became hugely important because after the temple fell in 70 CE, rabbinic Judaism grew mostly out of Pharisaic type traditions.
Okay. So they're very influential in what modern Judaism is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's, that is a thing. Correct. Yeah. Okay, so then there's the Sadducees.
Okay.
Okay. The Sadducees were a priestly slash aristocratic elite group.
Yeah.
So they were like over more into the hard religion core.
Okay.
Okay. They were strongly tied to the temple establishment. They were more conservative about accepted authority.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They were often associated with the written Torah as opposed to, remember, the other group I told you was more oral based.
These guys are like, it's got to be in the book. Law that's written down.
They would be your constitution originalist guys who interpret it as convenient.
Right.
And they're like, no, that's what it says. Or it would be your Baptist. It's in the Bible. It's right. What it says in the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah. It's what it says right there.
Yeah.
You know, and they can find what page proves their point.
Right. Even though I can find a page that probably contradicts it.
But you're not reading the one I want, though.
Right.
And I'm the one that's right.
Yeah.
Because I said.
Right.
I said so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were famously linked in later sources with rejecting resurrection stuff.
Okay.
And so that is where you get like your Jesus is coming, Jesus isn't coming, Jesus is resurrected, no, he's not, yes, he is, no, he's not.
Got it.
That's not real.
Right.
Like, that's not Jewish stuff. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
These guys are like, absolutely fucking not.
Right.
There is no resurrection stuff.
No.
That is not Jewish.
Yeah.
They also rejected the angel-heavy doctrines that the Pharisees were into.
Okay.
So
the they were like into the boring religion.
The Pharisees were the ones. Yeah. I mean, you could say that. But the Pharisees were the ones that kind of like, they were like ripe for Christianity.
Sure. Because
they were into
resurrection and angels,
afterlife, holiness. Like, these are very Christian terms.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So they were ripe for that.
Yeah.
Okay. They were ready for Jesus. Unlike me, I'm not ready at all.
Yeah.
And the Sadducees were like, that is so not Jewish of you.
Yeah.
Like, what even? That's not what it says.
Right.
And this group largely vanished after the temple was destroyed because their whole power base was temple centered.
Oh, that's sad.
I mean, it kind of is. Why'd you say it like that?
Sadducees.
Oh. I'm so fucking slow. I'm like, you're like looking at me like waiting for me to get it. And I'm like, I don't get it. So these were like your hardcore, you know, readers of the text.
Yeah.
And then when their building got smashed with the Hulk smash, they were like, womp womp, I guess we die now.
Right.
So, okay, bye.
Yeah.
And like you said, that's sad.
That's sad.
Sadducees.
Yeah.
Okay, then we get the Essenes.
Okay.
The label is a little messy. This might summarize more than one group, so we're going to be very broad here.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
They were separatists. They were purity-obsessed communities.
Mm.
They were often associated with...
These fuckers did not eat the shrimp.
They would probably kill you for eating the shrimp. There's not total certainty on this, but they're often associated with like the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Qumran, Quran. Okay, that's a separate word. There was a group of separatists called the Qumran.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And these guys are part of that group, which... I'm telling you, like, the more that I read about all these, the more I was like, I am studying these guys.
So many fucking rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about these different sects next week. Period. The end. Okay.
Okay.
They were apocalyptic as hell. They were, like, super into it.
Okay.
So these guys were also like, Jesus be coming. He coming any minute now.
Right.
Because we've reached the end of the world.
But these guys literally had the sandwich boards and the bells.
They did. And they wrote all that shit down and then they put it and they were like, we're going to call these the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. But yeah, they were the guys writing everything down.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, they saw the temple leadership as super corrupt, which it was.
That makes sense for somebody who thinks that all like that's living that apocalyptic vision lifestyle type thing.
I mean, to be fair, again, it was.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like if you look at people that are apocalyptic in our culture with regard to religion, they very much see religious culture, unless it's theirs specifically.
Right.
They see it as very corrupt and very wrong, and they don't agree with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, their pastor, their person is correct and, you know, couldn't possibly be wrong. But everybody else sucks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's for sure.
It's very, that whole culture is very much like that.
Yep.
In my opinion.
No, like, I
just
agree.
In general.
In general, yeah. So then we've got the Zealots, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're going to speak broadly.
Yeah.
Because this describes more than one loose pocket of people, okay?
Right.
They were not always a single neat party at first, but they were all anti-Roman.
Okay.
And they were all anti-collaboration, militant.
So they were like your separatists, like.
With guns.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. 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 Hence the word zealot. You know, that's where the word zealot comes from.
Right.
Like, yeah. These guys were all in. They were like, absolutely not. And I'll kill you. Okay. These mattered a lot in the first century CE because they exploded into revolt in 66 CE.
Hmm.
Okay, so these guys brought the fight.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So by the time Jesus showed up, Judaism was not a monolith. It did not mean any one thing.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know that.
Right.
Like,
but it makes sense if they're already splintering to have it splinter into a whole new religion almost kind of fits the narrative of the time.
Yeah. And it wasn't that it like grew into a new religion. It was just that one of the sects lasted.
Yeah.
As did another, like a couple of them lasted.
Right. This was just a fucking group of Jewish people that believe something different than the other groups of Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go. There's the resurrection. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically we're Jewish, just we call ourselves Christians because, you know, Christ.
Because
we're not we, but
no.
Christians.
Yeah. Well, Judaism kind of like, they're like, we've told the story of our people and this is, you know, what happened.
Yeah.
The end. Right. And then the Christians are like, and that's where the story stopped and where the new one starts.
Yeah.
They're like, you are all right in that is the history of our people, but it's not the whole story. It's almost like you guys were the trailer and we're the actual whole movie.
You haven't really got into it yet, but I feel like because there was all this corruption and different things going on. And then Rome comes into the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the past, the Jewish people would have split up. And they have split up, right? Mm-hmm. They've split into different groups completely, different kingdoms, all kinds of shit, right? Mm-hmm. But because there's corruption and people are just wanting to be corrupt and or the Romans are ruling, these sects are allowed to live next to each other in a way, in a sense.
Yeah.
And that almost is the entire breeding ground for what Christianity becomes. That's
exactly what happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Got it.
And then I'm not going to get into it right now, but I was curious about like where Islam fits into all of this.
Yeah.
And that's several hundred years later, looking at both of them and saying, you both got part of the story, right? But here is actually the rest of it.
Got it. And so there was still controversy in what is the correct beliefs even hundreds of years later after all this.
Yeah. Even though they all lean on the early part of Jewish history.
Right.
They just, where it goes from there is different.
Plus, I mean, they really wanted to like, you know, date younger women, I think.
Oh, and stop. No, it's true, though. But, I mean, that was always true.
I'm just saying.
That was true of fucking, you know, all of them.
Right.
All of them from the beginning.
Apparently, Epstein was back then, too. I don't know.
Listen.
What?
Men throughout history have always wanted to be allowed to fuck little girls.
Sure.
That's ultimately always been true.
I mean, it's damn near the basis for an entire religion that springs from Christianity
and Judaism. It's basically
not like the entire religion, but you know.
It's basically like men would say it's biology. And I'm like, yeah, we're all just fucking apes and it can't be controlled. And that's why men are rapey.
Okay. Right.
And I will say it again, like I've said so many times before, if you cannot rise above your fucking biology and not be rapey, then you don't get to vote or drive cars or have a license or own guns. Like, I believe you. If you tell me you cannot help yourself because you just have to fuck so much because that's the way animals do, then I believe you. Yeah. I totally believe you. You're an animal and therefore you're a less evolved human and you don't get human rights.
Right.
You know, we get to keep you in the backyard on a fucking leash like we do with our goddamn dogs, right?
Yes.
Okay, I might have feelings about that. Yeah. Sorry. Anyways, as you said, so the New Testament arguments make a lot more sense now that we know that Jesus was not like born into just like, look at, there's Jewish stuff and then Jesus.
Right.
Like it was not ever that simple, which again, I did not realize. Like he was born and stepped into an already very, very heated intra-Jewish debate.
Yeah.
So that matters.
And I might be wrong about this, but I feel like I've heard before that there was a lot of people that were claiming to be the prophet.
The Messiah.
The Messiah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that as well. I don't know how true that is. I reckon that we'll probably do a deep dive when we get into more
Jesus-centric.
Yeah.
But no, that's definitely something I'm interested in. Because I've heard that before.
Same. So then Rome showed up.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And ruined everybody's fucking day.
Right.
Rome is like, guess what, bitches? Greece is out. And Greece is like, oh, but we did alphabets and
aqueducts. Or was that Romans?
Romans were the aqueducts, I believe.
All right.
But the German... Jesus Christ. I just literally said the Germans instead of the Greeks. Forgive me, everybody across the board. That was all kinds of wrong. But the Greeks were like the science and math and philosophy and democracy. Like they were trying to bring it, you know? They were cool, man.
Yeah.
They had all these smart things. Like we talked about the golden age of Greece. And then Rome was like, yeah, we don't fucking care. We'll take that. Thank you.
Right.
That is so awesome. And it is mine now.
Look, can you apply math to conquering people? Great. We'll use it.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 63 BCE, Roman general Pompey.
Pompey.
It is pronounced Pompey.
Pompey. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
He intervened.
Wait, did you actually look up a pronunciation of a name?
I did.
Wow. I'm super impressed with you right now.
I looked up two pronunciations because I was like, what is this Qumran thing? Is that Quran? And then so I had.
Like, no.
It's not.
It's not.
It's a group of people. Got separatists.
It. Okay.
Qumran.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. It's Pompey.
This is a whole new wife we got here today.
No, I really wanted to say Pompey, and that's so much more fun.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, so Roman general Pompey intervenes in a Hasmonean civil war, and he captures Jerusalem. That was in 63 BCE.
Go Pompey. Don't go Pompey.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Pompey.
I mean, honestly, Pompey, he's the Roman guy. And so, like, we're approaching the zero year, and he steps in and he's like, thank you, Hasmonean Civil War, for splitting everybody.
Right.
I would like Jerusalem now. It is mine.
Got it.
And so Rome takes it.
Yeah.
That basically ends real Jewish independence.
Mm.
So, I mean, when you said, go Pompey, I don't think that you meant that as enthusiastically as you
sad.
Did.
That's sad, you see.
Because... Oh, my God. You're an idiot. So Judea, at that point, becomes a Roman client state.
Okay.
It's not a...
I mean, it's not like this is anything new to them. They've been fucking client states of so many different kingdoms.
But this is...
It's an old cat at this point.
Right. It's just like we're able to look back and go, oh, okay. That was the one, though.
What was that movie? Is it Home where the people... Where the aliens always get conquered by
somebody. Yes, yes. Oh my gosh. You guys, if you haven't seen the movie Home, it is adorable and enjoyable and so fun. We've seen it multiple times.
Right.
And it's never not fun.
I feel like they must have had the Old Testament in mind when they were writing that.
These people are so fucking stupid. I'm just saying
they're always getting conquered, you know?
And like the leader has the shusher.
Right,
He hits you on the head with the shush stick.
Yeah.
Instead of the speaking stick.
Right.
Yeah. The fact that J-Lo was involved in it should not deter you from seeing it. Like, not everybody likes, what's her name, Jennifer, Lopez. Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, J-Lo.
Duh. Yeah, I know who J-Lo is. I just couldn't.
I know.
Couldn't think
I'm
of her
like,
name. Like
who
we
she
all call
be?
Her J-Lo now.
Yeah,
so.
She's just, you know, Ben Affleck's on again, off again wife. You know, that one. Yeah. She actually sings a song in it that I really like, and it's in my playlist.
Yeah.
I'll probably share it later just because I mentioned it.
In the Discord, you mean?
Yeah.
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 Right.
Anyway, it's a really good movie. Sure. Home. It's called Home.
Sure.
Like, go home. Like H-O-M-E. Like, house.
I think we got it.
I'm trying to say it a lot because I want everybody to have a chance to write it down and go pull it up and watch it.
Okay.
It's called Home.
I didn't know you were giving people the chance to write it down. I thought you were, like, really stuck on maybe I need to pronounce it, like, 15 times.
Well, also because I don't always come across clearly.
Yeah.
And I just wanted everybody to understand what I was saying.
Yeah.
All of the people.
Right.
Go watch.
They might have thought you were saying Pharisees. I don't know.
Fuck off. From this point on, after Judea got hit up by Rome,
yeah,
okay, everything is filtered through taxation, client kings that come in and out of the area,
yeah.
Priestly collaboration. So, like, the priests are not, like, their own thing. They're part of Rome.
Got it.
Lots of resentment from the people. And this feeling of, when the hell is God going to fix this?
I mean, it sounds like repeat. It's the same fucking thing over and over and over and over again.
And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because it has happened over and over and over and over and over again.
So that's where they're like, fuck this. We're going to have our Messiah and we're going to get a resurrection in here and we're going to get this shit done.
Yes. The expectation. It's not just, I wonder if God will come. I wonder when God will come.
Yeah.
It's obviously God's going to come. When I'm looking at my watch that hasn't been invented yet, like, hello,
right, we any need second now.
Yeah. Like, it's a literal expectation.
Got it.
Because as you said, yeah, it's happened over and over again. And right. God always saves their bacon somehow, right?
Right, right.
Except they don't eat bacon. So I don't know why God would save it.
Yet.
You know?
They don't eat bacon yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Soon.
Maybe.
Soon they can eat bacon.
Ooh. So all of that is, like, super important in understanding where the Testament starts off or where the New Testament starts off.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I'm just going to talk about Herod the Great a little bit.
Okay.
He's the Roman guy that gets put in place as king.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He ruled from 37 to 4 BCE.
Mm. Okay.
Because, you know, we're moving closer to zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rome eventually backs Herod the Great as king of Judea.
Okay.
So they place him in there and they're like, okay, you're going to be the king for us over here.
So he's our new Antiochus.
Yes.
But for Rome.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
It. Yeah.
He's not a Davidic king. So he's not part of right. the Davidic
no,
line.
He
was placed there.
Yeah. He's a Roman king, basically.
Yeah. He's an Idumean client ruler
okay.
with Roman support.
Okay.
Okay. So he was placed there again. He's not one of the Judeans.
Sure.
Okay. He's brilliant. He's paranoid. He's brutal. And he's a master builder.
Mm.
Also probably a master baiter.
Probably had Bob in his
Bob
employee.
The builder.
Yeah, Bob the
yeah,
builder.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
He massively renovates and expands the second temple.
Okay.
Because he's like, okay, I'm going to be a good king, though. Let's build this shit. Let's go.
Oh,
let's
so they're go. Letting them have their religion then.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Kind of.
Okay.
Some.
Sure.
Yeah. So he's like, let's do this second temple thing. Okay. And that's the temple that Jesus knows is basically King Herod's temple complex. So he's like, remember, this is like the same. Like, we know that later Jesus comes in as like, you guys are doing the church, but you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And you're like doing money lending stuff in here. And he like throws tables.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, we haven't read that yet. We haven't started the New Testament.
Right.
But we do know that that's a thing Jesus is a little pissy about.
Sure. That's definitely a famous scene.
Yeah. Because he's like, you're doing your religion wrong.
Bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So King Herod like allowing them to have their religion is kind of like a stretch. He's letting sure. them have the image of their religion, but
he's feeding into
his own way.
Yeah, he's feeding into the corruption and
yes.
allowing it to exist as he wants it to exist.
Correct.
With corrupt leaders, probably what many Jewish people would consider corrupt leaders.
Yes. Yes. He created huge architectural projects because, as I said, he's a builder.
Got it.
And an architect. Hmm. And so, yeah. So, I mean, he's like putting a lot of time and effort into these people. He wants to be remembered as a great king. Great King Herod.
Wait, he was an architect? Like, I mean, So he built buildings.
Yeah.
Kind of like.
He planned them. Like yeah.
Trump does.
But he's
an architect, but he, you know.
Well, Trump would say, yeah, I built this because I picked out the gold toilet. And, you know, the shit that I bought from IKEA.
Sure.
This guy actually, like, you know, pencil to paper, drew the plans up.
Right.
Like, he was actually involved in creating these architectural projects.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So, was he a builder? Did he get his hands dirty and, like, put the stones on? He might have, like, done the ceremonial for stone laying foundation.
Yeah.
But he definitely, like, was very involved in the plans.
Got it.
He played both Jewish legitimacy and Roman loyalty. So he wanted to be loved by all.
Okay.
So he was trying to be a good king, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
So that the people would follow him, and that would make his job as a Roman puppet easier.
Sure.
So he was playing both sides, but he, I think, wasn't duplicitous in doing so. I think he really was trying to
win both sides.
Win both sides.
Right.
Yeah. He killed rivals, though, so, I mean, let's not like him too much.
I mean, that makes it easier to, you know, win.
He killed rivals, even some family members.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, I mean.
I mean, this guy just.
He was a good leader, but not necessarily a good guy.
I was leaning towards he was nicer, but now I see it sounds kind of like a dick.
Well, because you're confusing humanity with leadership. You can be a good leader and not be a good human.
Okay, so he's not a good human.
No, no, but he was a hell of an architect.
Well, you know, I guess you could say that about Trump, too.
Could you?
Not a good human.
He doesn't refer to himself as an architect. He's a real estate
mogul. Well, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I was trying to.
He's a failed businessman.
You stole that whole joke from me. So
I did. I would not let you have it.
It's gone now. That one is passed.
I'm not letting you have it. So this whole thing with him, like, oh, I'm helping you, but also, oh, don't get too uppity. I will fucking kill you. This led to a lot of political paranoia and messianic threat. Because he's like, don't rise up too high. I will kill you.
Right.
I mean, I want you to think I'm awesome and I want you to be awesome. I want you to be best, but don't be too best.
Right.
Because I will kill you.
Yeah.
Even if your name is Jesus. I will really kill you then.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after Herod, like, we're going to get into him more. Like, that's another Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting notes in my mind for what I want to talk about in the coming Tuesdays.
Sure.
Going into the New Testament. Herod's going to be a big one.
I want to step back for just 1 second here and remember that during the Maccabees, they wrote all those letters back and forth to Rome.
Yeah.
About how, you know, ooh, we got your back, man.
Yeah.
But, like, now it's just like, nah, fuck you. We've got you. Like, no, we're going to take you.
Well, Rome conquered them.
Yeah. And we knew that at the time. But, like,
it just
happened. Like, you guys can have it for, like, 100 years, and then we're going to take that shit back. So.
Yeah. It's like Rome was like, hey, we're busy, so we'll let you have the image of self-rule.
Yeah.
And then, oh, okay, now, anyways, we're, like, our eyes have swung back homeward.
Right.
And, oh, I'm sorry. Excuse you? What do you think you're doing over there with yourselves? You're mine. Give me.
Yeah.
And so that's why they put in all their little puppet kings.
Yeah.
So after Herod, fragmentation of that whole area led directly to Roman rule.
After Herod?
After Herod.
I thought it was already under Roman rule with Herod.
It was under Roman rule, but still separate. Okay. So then Herod died or whatever. Like, I don't know. I didn't cover that.
Oh, and then they split it up into...
And then fragmentation of who's going to be the new king of Judea.
Got it.
Right? That led to Roman rule. So then the Romans just moved in.
Okay.
They were like, we're not going to play. They
stopped fucking around with it. And they're like, no, you're just Rome.
Yeah. Herod died in 4 BCE. Okay.
All right.
So we're just like right at the zero year.
Yeah.
Okay. His kingdom got divided among heirs. And eventually parts of Judea came under more direct Roman administration, which that makes sense.
Sure.
So we've got the Judeans, like... some of them are like, it's so cool to be Jewish. And then others are like, no, but old school. And then others are like, but I really like Greece, though. Greece is so fucking cool.
And some are like, fuck you all. We're going to fight you and tear down your whatevers.
And then Rome just walks in and is like, okay, so Big Daddy Herod died. And this little corner, the street is mine now.
Right.
And I don't really give a fuck what you are.
Right.
What you are is Roman.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
You see the guys with the helmets and the spears and the armor and shit?
I was going to say fedora, and that is absolutely wrong. The Romans never wore fedoras. They could never.
Don't even think about fucking with us.
Yeah. They were like, we're Romans.
Right, yeah.
Who's going to fuck with a Roman centurion?
Right, yeah.
I'm not.
Right.
And I went to a high school in southern Italy, and our school mascot was?
The centurion.
The centurions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were the Brindisi Centurions.
I mean, they look cool as fuck. Why would you want to fuck with them?
I wouldn't. I'm like, you could appy in my way. Okay, anyways. If you know, you know. So eventually parts of Judea come under more direct Roman administration.
Yeah.
Because Rome was like, okay, we're done fucking around. You are Rome. So by 6 CE, so now we're past the zero year.
Sure. Okay? And Herod's dead as fuck.
Herod's dead as fuck. Rome is in.
Okay.
Rome is real in.
Right.
So by 6 CE, Judea is effectively a Roman province under governors and prefects. Okay.
Yeah.
And that line later includes Pontius Pilate.
Okay.
And we don't know a lot about him yet, but he's
the name.
He's a big New Testament guy. Spoilers.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the immediate political setup for the New Testament.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I'm like so glad I wanted to do a deep dive because like I didn't know all this stuff, even though we have covered this time period in large.
Right.
We haven't done this deep dive to narrow it down
sure.
as much. So I, no, I don't know. I find this very exciting. I'm not done.
Oh,
I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I apologize.
So we've got religious and intellectual developments that happen in this whole gap.
Okay. Yeah.
And this part is massively important. Okay.
Got it.
A lot of New Testament theology is actually Second Temple Jewish theology. Okay.
Okay.
So during this time period, Jewish thought develops or intensifies around the Messiah and Messiah's kingly, priestly, prophetic expectations.
Yeah.
Okay. Resurrection of the dead, final judgment, angels and demons, like I said, Satan becomes a more defined adversarial figure.
Okay.
Which I didn't realize happened during this time period. We've got a lot of apocalyptic literature, which we've been reading some of.
Yeah.
On and off.
Right.
You know, history is headed toward divine intervention. Like that's the read on most of that's what apocalyptic literature means.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got martyrdom theology, faithfulness under persecution, you know, dying for a cause.
Sure.
Like how much do you believe? Think of those seven brothers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That we just read about in Second Maccabees.
Right.
Right. That's martyrdom theology right there.
Got it.
So we're like gearing up towards that.
Yeah.
Wisdom traditions and synagogue and Torah centered practice outside of the temple only life.
Okay.
So living it outside of just I go to church or temple or whatever.
Okay.
And like bearing it as your label of who you are.
Yeah. So like your identity is more and more based on your religious groupings.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. So these themes are all over later Jewish literature, and then they fucking explode in the New Testament. These groups that we've been talking about, like, we will see them all over the page in the New Testament.
Got it.
So it's really important that we knew this going in, because they are mentioned a lot in the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament, and these names don't come out of nowhere. But if you didn't know it, it'd feel like they did. Like
right. Read the Bible straight along.
Yeah.
You'd be like, who the fuck are we talking about? What is this?
You know?
And look, we've been doing this long enough that like we know, like we've been building up to this for years.
Yes.
Years.
Yes.
So obviously we've kind of touched on a lot of subjects and we've been in circles where people talk about these things.
And
so we know a little bit more than we did when we started this whole thing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, if we had just jumped in without covering this stuff,
yeah,
we'd have still been blindsided by a lot of it.
Yeah, so. Because it would be like if we were watching a TV show and we watched like season 1, 2, and 3 and then we missed season 4 and 5 and came back for season 6 was the final season. And we're like, who are these people? What happened? How do we get here? What?
Which we kind of just did. We realized we're rewatching all of the Star Treks. Mm-hmm. We're in Discovery now.
Which we had watched.
Yeah. And we just finished season 1. The last half of season 1, we're like, what the fuck is this shit?
And we realized that at some point, somehow, we did not ever watch the second half of season 1 before we started season 2.
There was a lot of things we were confused about in the whole series as to how they came to be, but we're just like, whatever, I guess.
Like, there's a captain that, like, we knew she was dead, and then, like, later she's alive, and there's, like, this hateful relationship, and we're like, wasn't she dead? And why do they hate each other now? What the fuck is... And why is this love interest, like, I guess they broke up during the... I didn't know they broke up.
Yeah.
What? Like, and now he has a beard, and they are, like, real weird with each other? What is happening?
Right.
And we just went with it because, you know, a Star Trek is just kind of what you do, and you, like, have this acceptance. But, yeah, this would have been like that, but instead of a beloved television show... it's history, and we would have not understood what was happening at all.
Right.
And I think that every single motherfucking Bible that includes both the Old and New Testament should have a chapter between the two that kind of summarizes the 400 years between.
I agree.
To let you know, hey, by the way, for the dum-dum who doesn't know, like, you know, husband and wife who are reading this straight through and didn't realize that it's all out of fucking order and shit.
Right.
There's a 400-year gap, and here's kind of what happens.
Sure.
But that I think they don't count on people actually reading the Bible, honestly. They count on people owning the Bible, and they count on people pulling out various verses, but they don't count on people actually fucking reading it.
Oh, I agree.
And that's so annoying. Yeah.
I also wonder how many times throughout our podcast we've equated something from Star Trek to the Bible.
And vice versa. Yeah. I mean... That's a lot of podcast episodes to go back through and count, but, it's not an insignificant number of times. No,
right?
Yeah.
It's definitely quite a few.
Right. So the literature written during this 400-year period is very relevant. And we've, like I said, read some of it.
Yeah.
But this is the, like, gap where people skip it and then wonder why the New Testament feels like you walked in, like, mid-conversation. Because you did.
Right.
You're like, they're just like throwing these names and people and places at you, which I know they will be. And that's part of why, because I don't know any history.
Yeah.
And by the time the New Testament starts, this is like actual recorded history. Some, not the magic stuff, but like, but like the geography and some of the like wars and like the actual event things is like actual things that I should have an understanding of better than I do. And that's, I think, where some of my reticence to start the Jesus book is coming from.
But that's where our Q&As will be helpful, even in the New Testament. We'll come back and we'll revisit those things. And we'll go over that stuff. And I love history, but even as much as I love history, I'm not overly familiar with, like, early Christian times in Rome. You know, like, I know a little bit about Roman history, but not a ton. You know?
I just think that's where some of my pushback has come. Like, I'm not ready. Because I'm used to not knowing, but this is coming closer to things I'm supposed to know.
I guess, but we've flown by the seat of our pants so far through this podcast. Why not just continue the same thing?
No, and I understand that. And I'm there. I'm getting there now.
Sure.
It's just that, like, not knowing history up until this point, like, nobody fucking knows that shit. Whatever. That's nobody knows about shit that happened in the BCEs, right? Like,
I think what you're scared of more than anything is that because it is Christianity that we're starting to delve into, right? There are a lot of people who are Christians.
Yeah.
Who are going to know way more of the history of the Bible and the things that happened because it's the New Testament.
They know Christianity.
Right, because they know Christianity.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's things that are assumed to be known, but that's a misnomer. We both, neither one of us, knew much of anything about the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Because we weren't brought up on it.
Yeah.
And moreover, I don't think that a lot of the Christians actually know a lot about the Bible either. I think they pretend to know.
Yeah. And I'm understanding that is helping me gain a little bit more confidence in myself that it's okay to not know this stuff. I've said that from the beginning. I'm neither a scholar nor an academic. I don't know this stuff, and that's okay.
Right.
I'm learning, and I will learn a fact and then forget it by the next week because that's just like who and how I am, right? Like, things don't stick.
Sure.
But I have to remember to be okay with that. And sometimes my insecurity pushes back. And I think that's been why I've been like really nervous about going into the New Testament. But this has got me excited to do that.
Yeah. No, I like this is good information.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not going to like repeat the books that we're not going to read right now.
Sure.
Like in addition to the MacAdoodles.
There's a lot of
the Tobits and the Judiths and shit like that. But it is important that we do eventually talk about those books because they show Jewish life as it was under empire, under the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Some of it is wisdom theology. It does get into the whole martyrdom, like what we're seeing in.
So that 400 years wasn't as silent as it claims to
be. Correct. Correct. And it really depends on who you ask.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
The resurrection hints and developments happened during that time period. Piety under oppression, which that kind of gets to the whole martyrdom of it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
The emotional and theological world that was unfolding just before the New Testament. Like, these extra biblical books tell you about all that stuff.
Well, oppression is a big theme with Christianity, actually, because it's still something that Christians claim now, even though they are the dominant culture in the United States, right? They still claim to be an oppressed minority of people.
And they it's own like, the
wait,
whole,
no, you guys have fucking everything.
They own the whole bulletin board and claim oppression if you ask them or demand even that they give you a corner.
Yeah.
You have oppressed them by by wanting a corner of their bulletin board.
Yeah.
Fuckers. I might have feelings. So Catholics and Orthodox Christians would look at this time period. Many of these books are part of their scripture.
Yeah.
They're just standard.
Sure.
Right. But Protestants refer to them as the Apocrypha, and it's useful history, but not canonical.
Got it.
And like the book of Daniel would fall into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's less Apocrypha and more the other term that I can never remember. But if I think of one, I can't think of the other term. But it's the non-biblical term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the same historical gap is perceived very differently depending on the canon, depending on who you're asking, which religion you're asking.
Right.
There's other Jewish writings that shaped the New Testament world. Not all of these were canon, but they're huge for background. And that would be like Enoch and Jubilees and Solomon. And
I've heard a lot about Enoch from people. Like that's one of those ones that's like got some interesting stuff in it, I guess. But like,
yeah,
it's a long book
too. Yeah. So these are ones that I do want to get to, but
yeah,
there's just too much if we want to ever get to the New Testament, which our whole original purpose was to read, quote unquote, the Bible.
Yeah.
Which means at some point we do actually have to read the New Testament.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously.
Right.
We're slow rolling our way to it, but it's coming.
Yep. Yep. All of these things matter so that we understand why people expected an imminent kingdom. Like, it's coming any minute now.
Yeah.
Like, the expectation. And I cannot say that word enough. Like, I can't stress it. It wasn't just, I wonder if God's going to save us this time. It's,
they're like, no, he fucking is.
He always saves us. So, of course, he's coming. And that also, honestly, it explains why the Christians today still have that. It's like almost hardwired into their religion.
Yeah.
Like, God has always come for his people.
Well, I mean, as Pete Hegseth said to the troops, when you get too tired of waiting for Jesus to come back, you just go and start a war and make him do it.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what we're, that's why we're doing this thing. That's what yeah. that's what Pete
that's
said.
That's what Pete
said. That's what Pete said.
Pete Keg's breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So that reading all of these is it will help us understand that.
Yeah.
And it is still there today in Christians, not Jews as much, but I guess it depends on, again, which Jew you ask, because there is more than one sort of Jew.
There is.
So
there is. Which something
that helps me reading these things helps me understand the Jewish perspective today of how there can be so many different sects of Judaism.
Right. Yeah.
Because I didn't know that.
I mean, I had heard Hasidic Jews before. Like, that was something that I had heard, you know, and I still would have to dig in to find out exactly
what that means. I don't even know what that means.
But it's a different group of Jewish people that do things a little bit differently, right? And I knew, you know, I know there's people that are harder line than not, you know, like the Netanyahu is definitely a hardline Jewish leader, right? And there's a lot of people that don't agree with him or are softer on how everything should be done, you know, like as far as how things should go. So like there's definitely an idea that there are different groups of Jewish people that I've always kind of seen and that are operating in their world, right? But but I've never understood it fully. I've never dug into it enough to understand all the ins and outs of how that all works.
I guess I would say that it's been an interesting way of applying the Bible to the world today.
Yeah.
It is helping me understand the world today better, but not in the religious way that any Christian would ever. They're like, no, that's not what I meant.
Right. Well, I honestly feel like there's a lot of stuff that we have covered in the Old Testament that Christians simply don't understand how it's translating into politics today.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Yeah.
You know, like the Old Testament is important.
Right.
As much, maybe if not more, sometimes, mm-hmm. depending on what we're talking, like specifically with what's going on with Iran and Israel right now. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like the Old Testament and how this stuff all translates to them. That is very fucking important.
Yeah.
You know, like it's very important. And that's something that is lost in context with a lot of Americans.
And I feel like anybody in American leadership that is trying to get involved in the politics over there really should have taken a fucking class.
I think they all need to go back to school.
I mean, definitely. But I really feel like...
For a million different reasons.
Million different reasons, yes. But in particular, if you're going to get involved in that part of Judaism, that yeah. part of the world, you really should have taken a class in the Old Testament.
Right.
Just listen to our fucking podcast, at least.
If you haven't seen the interview clips from... Ted Cruz and what's that fucking right wing Tucker Carlson.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen the interview between Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz where Tucker Carlson jumps Ted Cruz's shit for not knowing anything about Iran.
Are you serious?
You should watch it. It's fucking fantastic. Like, okay, look, I don't like either of those guys.
I was going to say, don't make they me both cheer suck, for Tucker Carlson.
But Tucker Carlson fucking lights Ted Cruz up.
Oh, I gotta
lights
see that.
Him up.
I gotta say
oh, it's
that.
Fantastic.
So getting back to what we were talking about in this time period with all of these extra books
yeah.
that we haven't read,
yeah.
We get why they are expecting a kingdom that's coming any second now, why demons are suddenly everywhere. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that during this time period, like demons were just popping up on every street corner or some shit. Okay. And son of man language is a thing that they start saying and becomes very charged.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very charged language.
Son of man.
Son of man.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Purity debates get real intense during this.
And son of man, remind me if I'm correct about this, but Adam actually means son of man, doesn't it?
I believe so.
I think that is the actual definition. Like, that's what Adam means. It's son of man. I think we covered that at one point.
I don't really remember.
I'm almost certain that's true.
That shouldn't be right because he was made from clay or dirt or dust or something.
Oh, yeah.
So that
well, who's the fuck's the son of man?
I don't fucking know.
Okay, whatever.
But that language becomes very important during that time period.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, purity debates become like super loaded, and there are multiple messianic models. So that gets to what you were saying, where lots of people were claiming to be the Messiah.
Yeah.
And the prophet.
Right.
The one.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
This, all of this literature that we haven't read, that's the missing bridge between the two books. So that's in traditional Judaism. In traditional Christianity, this gap, we could talk about it, but it depends on which type of Christianity.
Fern on our Discord says, no, Adam just means man. Son of man is prophesied, especially in Daniel.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
Sorry, that was my bad.
That was your bad.
I knew I had heard the terminology somewhere. I just couldn't remember where.
So. C.S. Lewis, his character, the kids are son of man. That probably is in your head.
Got it.
In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Okay.
You know?
Yep.
The kids are son of man and daughters of Eve.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's common.
Yeah.
So, anyway, when we're talking about Christianity, it depends on what group you're asking, because there's different types of Christianity. We've got our Protestant framing. We've got our Catholic and Orthodox framing. We've got our, everybody else framing.
Yeah.
So the Protestant framing, again, they refer to it as the 400 silent years.
Sure.
The end.
Right.
Nothing ever happened in that room. Yeah. You know?
Don't look over there.
Yeah. This is the classic evangelical line. After the last Old Testament prophet, which is usually Malachi, God gives no new prophetic revelation.
Okay? Got it.
Nothing new ever happened.
Okay.
And then suddenly John the Baptist appears and prophecy returns.
Yeah.
So just 400 years later.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Fast forward.
Yeah. And silence means no canonical prophets, no new covenant revelation, and we are all waiting on the Messiah.
You know what the Jews said?
What?
Please be kind. Rewind.
Oh, my God. Anyway, they're waiting for the Messiah. Okay?
Okay.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Was happening.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
An important nuance here is that silence, the silent years, does not mean historically empty. Like, obviously, things happened. It just means that there's no recognized prophet, no new canonical revelation, and theology kind of stood still. History Sure. still happened. Time moved, but the theology stood still.
Yeah.
That phrase is more just a slogan than anything.
Okay.
It's definitely not a historical description.
Okay. Yeah.
If you ask Catholics what they think of this 400-year time period, they don't really think of it as silent. They include several intertestamental books in Scripture,
mm-hmm.
some of which we talked about.
Yeah.
And so the period is not viewed as a total blank in that time frame, in that framework.
They didn't want to abort those out of the books.
So. Oh, my God. Did you really say that? Jeez.
I'm sorry.
That was horrible. No abortion jokes. Wait. in that framework,
yeah.
God is still speaking to them,
uh-huh.
okay, through wisdom literature, historical books like the Maccabees, faithfulness under persecution again, and the development of hope in resurrection and martyrdom.
Okay.
These are the Catholics and the Orthodox Christians.
Right.
Okay. That's why 2 Maccabees becomes especially important in Catholic tradition, okay? We get the prayer from the dead from them, which I didn't know
was
a thing. And apparently we're going to see some more resurrection themes, and we've already seen the martyrdom stuff.
Yeah.
So for the Catholics and the Orthodox, the line from Old Testament to New Testament has a bit more continuity. It's not as...
Sure.
Like, and then we just fast forwarded over this abrupt silent period.
Right, right.
Okay. Traditional Christians also often read the gap as a period of preparation.
Tradition meaning Orthodox?
Like your typical Christian.
Okay.
Like your evangelical
Got
today.
It. Okay.
Like All if right. you were to just walk down the
time
street.
Time of preparation. They were just prepping for Jesus the whole time. They were like, oh, Jesus is coming.
It's not that the people on the street then were saying, I'm prepping for Jesus, he coming.
Got it.
If you asked Christian, like if you walked down the street today and asked your neighbors, hey, what do you think of that 400-year period?
Right.
They would say that that time period was them, like, not individually prepping, but sociologically prepping.
Yeah.
Like, there was a preparation happening because Jesus was coming. They just didn't quite know it. They kind of knew somebody was coming. They knew somebody was coming.
Yeah.
They didn't know his name was, you know, Jesus the Christ or what the fuck ever.
Sure, okay? Sure. Yeah.
And so that whole time period was just, like, making the bed, waiting
for him. Got it.
Because they knew somebody was coming.
He had to get the right virgin, Mary.
Yes.
So.
To be his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Israel was purified by exile and empire in their mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Idolatry becomes less central than before.
Obviously, that was something like you kind of just see it fade in the Old Testament. Like, it's definitely a big thing early on.
Sure. And my question would be, there was less care about it or there were less people doing it? Which one? Bit of both?
I feel like they fell into a certain mold with their religion that just kind of started sticking more and more.
Kind of like how you can't change the Constitution anymore. It just, like, it reaches a point and then it's just done and it just sticks. You can't add things to the Bible anymore either.
Yeah.
Like, religions and constitutions just reach a point where the printing press is invented and you can't change either of them ever again. You know, synagogues spread wildly during this time period.
Okay, all right.
The Greek language was still spreading. Remember, I told you,
yeah,
that it was still happening, even more so that the gospel could travel.
Okay,
and spread. You know, got to talk about Jesus in some language.
Well, right? Yeah.
So coming,
right?
He coming.
Well, but it would have. At the time we're talking about, it would have been the Old Testament. Like, they had solidified it into some books at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But that would have been, so those would have been being spread through Greek mostly at that point, right?
Yes, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, became very influential.
Sure.
But I was talking about the Greek language of that the scribes spoke and read.
Okay.
Like, they would have been spreading these stories.
Okay.
So the written language for sure, but also the spoken language was still, I mean, that's why a lot of our science and math today is still rooted in Latin.
Yeah.
Because Greek was based in Latin. So,
got it.
You know what I mean? They just spoke all that shit back then. They were like, they were hot for Greeks. Greece was it, baby. So the Roman roads that came in, they were like, we build so good. Remember?
Yeah.
Herod the Great was like an architect. He was like your quintessential Roman guy.
Like to build shit.
Yeah. Like them Romans, they built shit.
They had Colosseums and shit. Pantheons and
no, the Greeks had the pantheons and the German. God damn it! Why do I keep saying Germans? The Romans, like, they made roads and buildings.
What the fuck is up with Germans?
I don't know.
Why do you keep saying it?
I don't know. But every time I say German, just like ignore me and plug in the correct person.
Yeah, yeah.
The correct group. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Roman roads were, like, huge, okay?
Yeah.
And that helped spread the stories and the literature and what was happening.
Fucking roads.
Fucking Roman roads. The imperial infrastructure later enabled missions, missionaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's a thing that's going to happen. And, of course, the messianic hope intensified.
Like, sure.
He coming.
Yeah.
So this is the classic, like, fullness of time. Like, we'll see when Paul later has some phrasing, apparently. he says that history was being staged for Jesus. And that's what your modern Christian today would say. Everything was being prepared for Jesus.
Got it.
To come.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It takes a while, 400 years apparently, to prep for your son to walk the earth or whatever.
He is a magic man, mama.
He built the entire
magic man.
Universe in 7 days.
But it took 400 years
to get his son down to us.
Well, yeah.
It's a
big deal. So, okay, I'm going to end on the Jewish tradition, how they remember this time period.
Okay. All right.
We've covered the other two. This is the big one because this is like where we're at, right? Yeah. These people.
Right.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting because Judaism does not narrate this time period as, quote unquote, waiting for the New Testament, obviously.
Right, yeah.
So, like, what do you think happened during that 400-year period? They're like, I don't know, the same thing that happened in the next 500 and 600 and 700.
Yeah.
Fucking history.
Right.
What? You know? Hanukkah is the big surviving popular memory, and that came from the Maccadoodles. Okay. That's the most famous living Jewish remembrance of the Maccabean era.
Okay.
And it was the rededication of the temple after Antiochus IV, you know, the OG villain.
Yeah.
After he desecrated it.
Right.
When they rededicated it, that was where we got Hanukkah. And so they're like, look, man, look, we understand that the Maccadoodles happened and we are so glad for the Maccadoodles happening and Hanukkah, but that doesn't go in our book.
Yeah.
That can go in like adjacent. It's Old Testament adjacent.
It's, sure.
You know, Tanakh adjacent.
Pseudepigrapha. Yeah, that's the other word.
Yes. Thank you. So they also look at this time period as victory over forced assimilation and persecution.
Yeah.
And the preservation of Jewish identity, which makes sense. Their whole thing is the focus on the military victory and the temple rededication of the Maccadoodles and the 100 years thereafter.
Got it.
Like everything else after that is just like, yeah, that's history happening, you know. You know the way time goes on.
Yeah.
You know? So that's just a perfect example of how later Jewish memory reshapes earlier history because they're like, no, this was all about Hanukkah and this was all about like the famous oil lasting 8 days, that whole miracle. That was awesome. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're like, no. That was great. It was so good.
What was that? The oil was whatever. That was something. I can't remember. There was like
the fucking oil lamp.
Yeah.
Thing.
Right.
Ran out.
That's but right. But then it didn't. But it was a fire. But then it was like goo. And then we're like, that had to have been oil or something.
Yeah.
It was eternal like, fire or something.
I think that turned into goo. I think we're talking about like two different stories.
Oh, okay.
But they were both like so miraculous. Magic.
Yeah.
Okay. Prophecy ceased is the way they look at it.
Okay.
They're like, and God was done with us.
Yeah.
A major Jewish traditional idea is that after the last biblical prophets, which would be Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi.
Yeah.
The age of prophecy ended, or at least was greatly diminished.
Age of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That was the last prophet.
That's it. That's all we get.
That's all we get.
God goes silent. God
didn't vanish.
Okay.
It's very important. You understand. Sure. God didn't vanish. It just means that direct prophetic revelation is no longer the norm.
Mm.
So God did vanish, but we're just going to say he didn't.
Okay.
He didn't interact with us.
Yeah.
He's still there somewhere, floaty.
Right? Yeah.
The authority shifts toward the Torah, the sages, interpretation, like that's where we get, you know, the people that are still writing about it
right
to this day.
You know, it strikes me that
communal practice
at this point in time, written history was much more prevalent and much more solidified as part of a part of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these fantastical things that were oral traditions in the past now could become written down in the moment. So these prophecies would have had to have been something that somebody witnessed and actually, you know what I mean? It's, yeah, it's almost like
the cell phone
thing. No one has pictures of fucking miracles either because, you know, there aren't any.
Right.
You know?
Like the second you have a way to record miracles, the miracles somehow disappear. That's why, there's fewer reportings of UFOs.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Oh, look, everybody got a fucking cell phone. Google Earth got a fucking, you know, camera in the sky.
Well, I mean, everybody got a blurry picture of a fucking bright tic-tac star or something. Yeah.
It's a tic tac or a reflection. Love it. Yeah. So this idea actually lines up somewhat with the Christian silent years idea.
Yeah.
But Judaism does not interpret it as, and then therefore Jesus.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, the Christians are like 400 years and then this happened. They're just like 400 years and then 500 years. And like I already said, time marches forward.
Right.
It just becomes this part of the story of how rabbinic modes of authority emerged during and after the Second Temple.
Okay.
So it's just be what it be, you know? I had more, but we're getting long here, so I think we're good. We'll just stop there.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good. I was actually very, I liked a lot of that information. There's a lot there. It makes it very relevant as to what we're going to be getting into in the New Testament.
So. It kind of puts what we're reading into place with where we're going.
Yeah.
And knowing that what we're going into isn't going to hit on this, but is impacted by it.
Yeah.
I think really helps me like get a feel for, okay, this is what we're walking into.
No, definitely. And I got at least like 5 or 6 dad jokes in there. So I felt good about this one.
Oh my God. I hate you so much.
All right. That's all you got for us today then?
I mean, no, it's not, but that's where I'm stopping.
Well, okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, that's all we got for today then.
Okie dokie.
And we will see you next time.
Sure as fuck will.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.